C is for cabbage. Cabbage gets a bad press, and for five principal reasons. 1. Ghastly memories of school dinners. 2. The sulphur compounds released in cooking cabbage have an unpleasant smell. 3. Cabbage has a lingering association with flatulence. 4. If asparagus is the aristocrat of vegetables, cabbage is the plumber. Just a smidgen above the janitor, the humble Swede. And 5. Let's be honest, you have to work hard to make it lip-smackingly appetizing. Yet the cabbage family is broad, its members enjoyed all over the world, and it has a proud and long history. There are 400 or more cabbage species which evolved from ancient wild cabbage, and these have been valued as a food since the time of the ancient Egyptians. Starting as a spindly weed, farmers selected the plants with the largest leaves as they had the highest value. By the 5th century BC, the wild plant had evolved into what today we know as kale. Consumer preference for plants with a tight cluster of tender young leaves closely packed into the terminal bud at the top of the stem was the next step towards the development of the cabbage head, which had emerged by the 1st century AD. In Northern Europe, at a similar time, kale plants with the fattest turnip-like stems were being selected by farmers, and the strange vegetable kohlrabi emerged. Jumping forward a millennium, southern Europeans favoured eating cabbage with large, tender, flowering heads, and by the 15th century, the first cauliflower graced the table. In the same era, its very close relative, broccoli, appeared, probably in Italy. Broccoli means little shoots in Italian. Cauliflower and broccoli are both particularly rich in nutrients, and to preserve the goodies are best cooked quickly with little water or stir-fried. Incidentally, stir-frying leafy cabbage is a great way to avoid the unpleasant sulphur smells associated with its cooking. Early in the 18th century, Belgian farmers were selecting cabbage plants with a large number of tightly packed leafy buds along the stem. Voila! Brussels sprouts! These and broccoli have been grown and eaten in the UK for close to 300 years, and cauliflower much longer. So, are all cabbages created equal? I don't think so. Mark Twain viewed that cauliflower was nothing but cabbage with a college education. Frankly, that's too simplistic. In socially conscious English terms, the leafy cabbage family live in a rented council house. The cauliflowers bought their council house and have done it up. The broccolis move to a new estate and their children go to private school. The sprouts, I'm afraid, are in low-income accommodation. And the kohlrabi family are post-war Central European immigrants with bespectacled children who are gifted violinists. Both the Greeks and Romans understood the health attributes of cabbage and even imbued it with powers to constrain drunkenness. I'm afraid it hasn't. The leafy cabbage varieties have long been seen as unsophisticated. The cabbage cause was not helped by Diogenes, one of the more eccentric, cynic philosophers of ancient Greece. The cynics espoused simplicity of living as giving access to knowledge of ultimate truths, and Diogenes took this to extremes by living naked in a barrel and ate only cabbage washed down with water. His boorishness and appalling standards of personal hygiene reflected poorly on the image of cabbage. Mind you, Aristippus, the leader of a competing philosophical school, the Hedonists, who searched tirelessly for subtle and refined pleasures, claimed that cabbage dulled the senses and shortened life as a result. What did he know? He keeled over at 40, and Diogenes lived to the ripe old age of 90. Broccoli, of course, is still trying to recover in the USA from the injudicious remark of President Bush Sr. when he said, "My mother made me eat broccoli, and now I'm president of the US, I'm not going to eat it anymore." Whereas we know that babies are found under the gooseberry bush, the French hold the whimsical view that the stork parks them in the cabbage patch. Further, an old custom in many parts of France is to serve newlyweds cabbage soup first thing in the morning after their bridal night. Now, whether this is to induce fecundity or to remind them that life isn't all a bed of roses, I know not. The French claim to have introduced cabbage to North America. On his third transatlantic trip in 1541, the voyageur Jacques Cartier took cabbages as food for the crew, completely unaware that their vitamin C content helped in alleviating scurvy. The cabbages were also taken as planting material for the first colonists who were supposed to be following Cartier, although clearly they weren't in a hurry to plant them, as the first record of cabbage being eaten in the USA was 130 years later in 1670. Where cabbages really came into their own was in countries with rigorously cold climates and a short growing season for vegetables, like most in Northern Europe and Northern Asia. The dish we associate with Germans, or krauts when we're peevish with them, is sauerkraut, white cabbage preserved in salt. One Asian close relative of sauerkraut is Korean kimchi, which is a staple and served at every meal. It's an acquired taste containing plenty of garlic and chili pepper in addition to Chinese cabbage. I lived in South Korea actually for a few months 30 years ago and had to come to terms with kimchi. It was a challenge to face it over breakfast, nursing a soju-induced hangover. Soju is the national fire water distilled from potatoes. As an aside, I recall a special seafood luncheon with the mayor of Sokcho City in South Korea. The centrepiece of the banquet was a live sole fish, and you were required to peel strips of flesh from its body and eat it. Very fresh, as we were told. All I could do was cover the sole's head with a lettuce leaf, so I couldn't see it mouthing balefully at me. Why me? Why not my brother? By the by, Koreans say kimchi when facing the camera, as we say cheese. Cabbage has an important role in titivating up leftovers too, and has become a fashionable side dish in bijou London gastropubs as bubble and squeak. In Mrs. Beaton's Book of Household Management, first edition 1861 in the UK, she required us to fry a few thin slices of cold boiled beef with chopped boiled cabbage, butter, sliced onion and seasoning. Over time, the beef dropped out of the recipe and other leftover vegetables crept in. Voila, bubble and squeak. So named, by the way, because of the noise it makes cooking in the frying pan. It has an Irish predecessor with a better pedigree, namely colcannon. This dish is made from mashed potatoes, cabbage and or Brussels sprouts, milk, butter, seasoning and maybe a touch of ginger. Any means of disguising Brussels sprouts gets my vote, to be honest. Here's an idea for a new parlour game, or to distract bored passengers on long journeys. How many famous people can you come up with who have vegetable surnames? It's tough. Special prize if you can come up with really good ones. Here's my shortlist. Sybil Leake was Britain's most famous 20th century witch. For aficionados of the board game Cluedo, there's Colonel Mustard of Colonel Mustard and the Library fame. Coincidentally, mustard and cabbage are from the same botanical family. If you allow herbs, or herbs if you're American, then there are plenty of basils, two of which were Byzantine emperors in the 7th and 8th centuries AD. The two-volume shorter Oxford English Dictionary, difficult to put down or indeed to carry, was revised and enlarged over a 25-year period in the last century by the redoubtable Charles Onions. But here's a double whammy that is excruciatingly appropriate. What about Albert R., you guessed it, wait for it, Albert R. Broccoli, the Italian-American film producer who was responsible for all of the James Bond films up to and including GoldenEye. Magnificently, his legacy still lives on. He died in 1996 through his daughter Barbara Broccoli, who took over the production reins from her dad and is still co-producing the Bond films to this day. Incidentally, Albert R. claimed that his ancestors, his very own, invented broccoli through crossing Rape, an ancient member of the cabbage family, with a cauliflower. This is harmless nonsense. But let's forgive him, as we would anyone who brought us the iconic bikini scene where Ursula Andress spectacularly emerges from the aquamarine sea in Dr. No. Ah.